What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly. This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll look at the incoming ban of e-scooters on public transport, the €9 million for phone-free schools, and as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so at any stage. TechTalk at newstalk.com is the email address, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. Much of the week, as you know, was dominated by the budget. Phrases like giveaway budget and baby budget were thrown around. But the one thing that has leapt out at me is the €9 million allocated for the phone-free schools. We're going to talk about it in depth later in the show, but it really has irked me. Now, if you've ever listened to me on any of the shows here on News Talk, be it this one or any of the others that I'm on, you'll know that I am passionate about online safety. I'm a strong supporter of legislation, education, and meaningful change when it comes to keeping everybody, but particularly children, safe online. But this, to me, is utterly ridiculous. I was in school, secondary school, from 2001 until 2007, and our homework journals had the school policy on the first few pages. And one of the bullet points that was there way back in 2001 said that we were not allowed to use our phones on the school grounds. If a student was caught with their phone on campus, it was confiscated. That was it. That's how it worked. And work it did. I have yet to come across a school that doesn't have a policy like that in this country. I get that social media has changed a lot and things in general have changed a lot since I left school in 2007. But to get to the stage where we're spending €9 million on pouches for phone-free schools seems utterly bananas. Particularly now at a time when, you know, kids are bringing magnets to school to unlock the pouches. Kids are bringing burner phones to put in the pouches so they can keep their smartphone on them. The pouches, the Yonder pouches, just seem like an overly complex solution to a side problem. It's not going to address the actual issue of cyberbullying or child safety. It's just not. Cyberbullying is not going to go away because your child is putting their phone in a pouch between 9 and 3 or 4 every day. I have to say, I've been very frustrated by this all week, but I'd love to know what you think. TechTalk at newstalk.com. Is the email address, and without wanting to be a total moan bag, there's something else on the agenda that doesn't make sense to me, and that is the banning of e-scooters on public transport, which is coming into effect from Monday, October the 7th. I don't get it. But Colin Baker of Back from the Future is with me now to try and make sense of it all. Colin, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
It's been a while since we've chatted, but you were the first name that popped into my brain when I saw this incoming ban of e-scooters on public transport, because we have spoken numerous times on this programme and in life about how you are a fan of them. Can you just remind us of how, when and why you use an e-scooter?
Well, that's an understatement. I'm fanatical about them. Oh, I suppose I'm fanatical about kind of, you know, mobility, if you like, around the city, as I see this sort of glaring problem of congestion in the city, of the, I mean, if you remember during COVID when there weren't cars around, do you remember how clean the air was and how, you know, greenery started to pop out of pavements? And clearly we have a serious problem with congestion and trying to stuff thousands of you know, one-ton cars, gas-guzzling cars around the city, and people complain about it all day, every day. So the scooter for me was very much a solution to that. I love cycling as well, but when you're moving from place to place in a job or visiting a client, going down to the bank or moving, commuting to work, it's not very viable to constantly cycle because you tend to sweat. And not to harp on that for too long, but it's not nice for your colleagues or for yourself or anyone you're visiting. So the scooter revolution was the perfect solution in that it was a really, really tiny carbon footprint in terms of movement. It saved money. It saved time. You could realistically schedule a meeting at any time of the day and say, yes, it will take me 20 minutes to get there. Encourage use of public transport as an alternative to vehicular transport or to motor cars. And for me, it was a life hack. And so I also derive an amount of pleasure from it as well because it's just fun. I skated as a I was a kind of a wannabe skateboarder as a teenager, so maybe it appeals to that side of my personality as well. But in reality, it's the practical life hack aspect of it that appeals to me most.
Yeah, and I think you're not alone in that. I know quite a few people who have them. We had one at home. I don't really use it that much because I think a lot of the conversation around the legislation and how slow that was to come into place, and I think some of the misinformation and the bad press that the scooters got, some of it justified, some of it not justified, kind of made me personally feel uneasy about it. But I do know that there are people who will use it either for the first mile or the last mile of their journey into work. So rather than driving, they can use the e-scooter to go up to the bus or the Lewis and get public transport in and then get onto the scooter for the last mile of their journey. It makes sense on a few different levels. Cars off the road, it eases with, demands on taxis, which we know are in high demand. It eases on the demand on public transport and so on. So how did you react when it's the NTA, they put out this press release on the 26th of August saying that e-scooters are going to be prohibited, and it says that the guidance is prompted by safety concerns in relation to lithium-ion batteries?
Well, first off, Jess, you make a very good point about its general use. Most people use e-scooters as a last mile solution. And another message that I like to constantly reinforce out there is that there's this separation, arbitrary separation between bicycles, e-bikes, e-scooters. Geometrically, physically, speed-wise, risk-wise, there's really no difference between them. A bicycle with big wheels and a frame versus a scooter with small wheels. In terms of its overall concept, there's no difference there. And yet there's constant separation. So, for example, if you look at the legislation, they're talking about it not affecting e-bikes. Now, I can understand them looking at devices like these and thinking, well, look, particularly during congested times on the on public transport, it's a good idea to try and reduce that and in kind of optimize it for people coming on board. So not having large scooters and bikes there at busy times, that's just practical advice and guidance. But in terms of this conflation of the problem, you also mentioned the primary cause, or at least the cause and reason that they're asserting, is the danger of batteries exploding on trains and buses. That's really what they're hinging on. And this is a very common occurrence in sort of bureaucratic environments like that, where they seem to be missing the screwdriver person. The person who actually understands the technology itself. I can tell you from running back from the future, and one part of our business is component repair and maintenance. We repair laptops right through to X-ray machines, right through to customized circuit boards. And I can tell you empirically, not this is not opinion, the difference between the batteries, circuitry, power circuitry, power controllers, in e-scooters is no different to e-bikes. So if you're going to compel a ban on e-scooters, then you need to do it on e-bikes as well, and you need to be consistent throughout that. The big problem here, and this is often conflated, is the prevalence of non-regulated devices across the board. So we have a thing called CE approval. It's nothing new. This is an approval platform, a regulatory body within the EU that keeps electronics and electrical equipment safe. When you build something out of components and batteries and motors, There's regulations to govern exactly how that's done and what fail safes are built in to overpowering, overcharging, overheating, and ultimately what they call explosions or any kind of short circuits or things that can lead to danger. Now, that with CE approved devices, that's near as can be guaranteed that that circuitry is safe. We see it all the time. Even if we boil it down to simple laptop chargers, we'll see cheap, nasty laptop chargers that have come in from abroad, non-CE approved, 15 quid or 20 quid for this kind of, you know, 20 volt charger. And the thing just melts at the you know, once it gets busy, once it gets used, it starts to melt or it sparks or it makes sounds or worst case scenario, and it is in very rare cases, it ignites. And you know, can cause a fire, obviously. And it is cheap, non-regulated, improperly built circuitry, batteries, motors. And that's prevalent right across the board. If you're buying something with a sizable battery in it, like an e-scooter, like a bike, like even a laptop or a phone, the chances are if it's particularly cheap and it's come from some unknown location, and you know, you're getting a phone that's normally 200 quid and you're getting it for 50 quid or a scooter for 250 quid when it's normally 500 or 600 quid, the reason is it hasn't gone through those mechanisms, Jess. And that's the message, that's what's going on here. They haven't considered the technical reality that we do have a problem. We have a problem with unregulated, unsafe equipment coming into Ireland, but that is not e-scooters. That is e-scooters, e-bikes, you know, laptops, phones, tablets, electronic and electrical devices in general. That, you know, we all want to get a good deal, and we find a good deal, and we wonder why it's a good deal, and often it's because there's a fake CE-approved sticker underneath.
Yeah, and I think that's a really, really important message. And before anyone cites examples of fires that have, you know, when a scooter's been on charge and it's gone on fire, absolutely that does happen. And as you've just outlined there, Colin, you're not saying that it's never, ever happened in the history of e-scooters. That's not the case. It's the fact that...
Or e-bikes. And we consider them the same because they're the same technology, same batteries, same motors, same serve. I can assure you that underneath the hood, aside from the size of wheels and the platform, they are the same components, the same batteries, the same motors. Not similar. Mm. They're the same.
If this doesn't stack up, why is it a thing?
It's the same thing when, if you remember when GDPR came out. GDPR was designed from a technical point of view to protect the individual's data and personal information. And bureaucrats, and I don't mean to be some sort of sensationalist, but I tend to find that larger organizations that are heavy on bureaucracy and heavy on committees and consultation tend to be heavy on the academic side of things, rather than referring to the technicians at, and I'd say in inverted commas, quote unquote, at the bottom of the pile, who actually do know how these things are put together. They tend to be ignored. That's what you're seeing here, which is a lot of meetings. I mean, if you look at the regulation of e-scooters themselves, how many years and how many times over the years, these years, have we talked about, oh, where is the regulation at now? Right the way through COVID and lockdown, when nurses and first line responders were using e-scooters to get around, passing guards on the street, and guards are scratching their heads wondering what to do. The regulations should have been very simple. They are, thankfully, pretty much there now, but it's taking years to get there. The larger an organization, I think the less effective they are at ultimately making simplistic, straightforward, rational, logical decisions. The reason we have this decision not being technically informed is because of that nature.
Do you think people are going to ignore the this rule, or do you think that it'll actually just mean that the e-scooters that have been purchased are going to just sit in the cupboard under the stairs now?
Well, look, as I said, there is another issue with non-approved equipment coming in. And I do think that aside from hoping that regulators will step in, I mean, if you remember years ago, the regulation of speed detectors, I remember guards coming into our shop about 15 years ago, and he shut us down for an hour to inspect us to see if we had any speed detectors. That's kind of gone with the wind now. But it is possible to regulate these things as to whether it'll happen or not. Consumers do need to be cautious themselves about what they're buying, as you rightly said. In terms of use of e-scooters on public transport, it remains to be seen. I tell you, I'll be brutally honest with you. I bought a case for my e-scooter. I put a picture of an oboe on the side, and it kind of looks like a musical instrument once I have it in the case. And I plan on folding it up. It folds up nice and neat, and getting on the train as I've always done. I know my e-scooter. It was, built largely by ourselves and a very accomplished engineer. I know it's fully CE approved. I know it's fully safe. I know it's nothing to worry about. And so I have a case that I'm going to cover it with. And let's see what happens. I don't think they're going to be up, able to look into my supposedly oboe case. I do not agree with, as you know, and I don't believe it's even opinion. It is technically the case that to regulate and to ban e-scooters and not ban e-bikes is pointless, is inconsistent, to put it mildly. And I would be very curious. I was going to just tempt fate and get in the train after the 7th of October and see what happens. But I don't particularly want to have an argument with, a perfectly well-mannered Éireann Ró Éireann employee. And I don't want to cause them a fuss either. So I'm wrapping it up in a case. I'm pretending it's an oboe, and let's see what happens.
I'm not advocating that people do go against the rules and all the rest. I'm absolutely a rule follower. I always
Neither
have
am
been,
I, by
always
the
will
way.
be.
I do break rules sometimes, and I can be a little bit cavalier sometimes, but I follow a lot more. I mean, most rules are there for everybody's protection and are accurate, in fairness. And
Yeah.
so following rules is a great idea. But this one is technically an absolute technical falsehood.
Well, you see, the issue. I completely accept and agree with your points around the safety side of things. Once it is a legitimate product and it's been certified and all the rest, to me that battery argument doesn't stack up, particularly when they're allowing the e-bikes. I also would respect it more if they just said, from a space point of view, public transport is busy. Like every single day I'm on either the
It's
Luas
all
or the
right.
bus. And so I would much rather they came out and said, do you know what? Keep your e-mobility solutions to the cycle lanes and off the public transport because it takes up too much room. I'd actually prefer that because I could understand that a bit more. It's just the language and the reasoning in that press release from August that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yes, I'm totally on your side. I would actually, if it was a consistent message where there was, because I've seen e-bikes fall over, so they'd be dragged onto to trains, and during relatively busy periods, and then some people will actually leave it on a stand or leave it up against something, and I've seen them fall over and injure people. And quite aside from the just the space it's taking up as more and more people. Commute to work on public transport. So, from a practical point of view, you're absolutely right, and at least that would be a consistent message. Obviously, they're going to let prams on, wheelchairs, etc. But when it comes to things that are elective, if you've got an e-bike or an e-scooter, well, the likelihood is that you've got an alternative means of transport right there with you. You can get to work on the e-bike or the e-scooter. So, there's no absolute necessity to put it on the public transport. By all means, keep it off for the sake of space. But this message about the inaccurate technical assertion that they have, I'm sure they've spent a lot of time, a lot of money on consulting processes to research that and figure it out. And they are fundamentally and empirically incorrect.
Okay, I would love to know what you think. Email me techtalk@newstalk.com. Is this going to impact you? Is it the right decision? Is it the wrong decision? Does it tick you off? Again, the email is techtalk@newstalk.com. As always, Colin Baker, thanks so much for joining me here on Newstalk.
Thank you, Jess.
Now, for those of you who follow Colin online, you may know that his mother very sadly passed away in the last year. He's done some fundraising in her memory, and the next event is taking place in the National Concert Hall here in Dublin on October 14th. It's called Songs of Remembrance and Hope, and all of the proceeds are going to Our Lady's Hospice and Care Services Blackrock. You can find full details and tickets on nch.ie. Now, when we come back here on News Talk, we'll look at that bonkers notion/reality of spending €9 million on phone-free schools.